5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Howdy, everybody. Dr. Tommy and Ellie here with you with another amazing Croc podcast. I say amazing because I'm not amazing, but you guys are amazing. God bless you. Thank you for listening. At my side, always, Angel Santana, have faith, let it begin. Angel, this is the eve of a small little surgery you're having, and I want to just tell all the Croc Nation that we're going to be praying for you and hoping that everything turns out well for you, which we know already that it will.
That's right. I'm ready to go. We got awesome people on by our sides. We got a great hospital. We got great doctors, great surgeons. Let's rock and roll.
So, Angel, you know, my wife asked me tonight, she said, you know, when I told her we're doing the podcast on Thursday because of your surgery, because we usually record on a weekend, you know, she said, you know, well, you know, go down there and have fun. And I go, honey, you know, when I do this podcast, this is not fun. This is work. This is hard work. And she said, you know, oh yeah, Bologna, you and Angel have a blast. And I will say that she's partially right and partially wrong. So this Croc podcast is a labor of love, but it's for the most worthwhile cause. And that's to try one person at a time, one survivor slash thriver at a time. See if we can make an impact on your lives and on your survivorship. But make no mistake, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into all of our podcasts, so all the podcasters out there, and that's if they're doing it right. And that's exactly the subject of today's episode is, again, why do I do this podcast for the survivors? Because I know you guys. I've known you guys for 35 years. You're super worthy, and it's such a great way to try to help make your lives better. But I have to tell you that I'm continually learning and being educated and sometimes being taken to school by serving you guys. And I think that that's sort of a little bit of a sneak glimpse into what tonight is all about. So without any further ado, what exactly is tonight all about? Tonight is a night we talk about what I call nomenclature. So what is nomenclature? That's a scientific word. So nomenclature is just an arbitrary word for the arbitrary words we decide to use to define certain things. So Angel, going back to one of our first modules years ago, we talked about, you know, if we're going to do a podcast for survivor slash thrivers, we should know what a survivorship is. What does survivorship mean? And we did a series of maybe 5 episodes, maybe more, defining survivorship. And one of the episodes, I believe it was Dr. Katie Deming was on with us. And what Katie did was Katie basically took or was a paper that she wrote that we asked her to discuss. And it was really enlightening in the sense that the reason why we, in case you guys are new to the podcast and you're saying, why the heck is this guy saying survivor slash thriver? We say that because there are certain people that don't identify with the terminology survivor. They actually want to be called thrivers. And that's why I know it's very awkward, and believe me, it's awkward for me to say it 10 times an episode, but you know, it is the truth. It's to respect you guys and respect those people who don't identify with that word. Tonight's episode is sort of similar, same, but different, as my kids would say, with the word warrior or hero and or brave or courageous, because I think these are the words that we use in this podcast weekly. These words come out of my mouth and Angel's mouth. And when I was, you know, motivated to do this podcast, something new came to my head. Actually, I take that back. Something new was taught to me. What came to my head and what sparked the entire process of this tonight's podcast was actually looking at me on the medical side. So anybody who knows me well knows that I have this sort of anxiety streak through me, and I'm a very infamous hypochondriac, right? So every scrape I get, every cut I get will turn into a flesh-eating fasciitis bacteria, and I'm going to have my legs and arms amputated. Every mole or skin blemish. I think I have melanoma. Every lymph node that I could palpate in my neck, I'm convinced that I have Hodgkin's disease. Every circle or bag under my eye, because I didn't get any sleep because my dogs kept on waking me up, I'm convinced I have thalassemia. So here I am, right? This knucklehead, hypochondriac, and I end up having all of these. I like it's the sprint. I call it the sprint to the grave from some ridiculous pseudo diagnosis that I begin to think about. And then I thought, what the heck is the matter with me? I've been in the cancer game, a cancer doctor for over 30 years. Every day, I swim in a sea filled with courageous, suffering heroes. Should I not have learned a lesson, or a few lessons in poise under fire and the power of optimism from our cancer survivor slash thrivers? After all, we all know that cancer absolutely flips your world upside down in every possible way, in your personal life, your professional life, your spiritual life, in your functionality life. That's not a word, we make them up here. And in your relationshipal life, again, not a word, we make them up here. And I'm worried about a tiny wart on my body. And to quote the guys on ESPN, they say, when somebody does something stupid, they say, "Come on, man." And that's exactly what I'm going to say. Come on, man. What the heck is the matter with you? So, Angel, what this podcast began, and this happens all the time, what I think the podcast is going to be never turns out to be what it is. When I became, intrigued and started doing my due diligence, do my research, something completely different came out of it. So for me, when I become anxious and fearful over not even a potentially, or hyperbolic catastrophic fantasy, I get these butterflies. I don't know if you feel them. You get these butterflies in your stomach.
All the
These
time.
These butterflies are when you believe your life as you know it, your life as you love it, your life as you want it is about to be taken away from you, right? So even though it's all in my head, my body is feeling that, and I'm having physiological reactions to those to that mental process. And you just can't stop thinking about it. You can't stop worrying about it. You become fully and totally engulfed and consumed by your thoughts. And it's these butterflies. It's that feeling that you would do just about anything to resolve or make go away. And that includes, how many bargains have I had with my creator? They say, "God, if you take this away, or if this doesn't happen, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to become a nun, or I'm going to go become a monk, or I'm going to go do this, or I'm going to go cure cancer, or I'm going to stop, eating hamburgers," or whatever. All of these, all sorts of, and again, last week we talked about resolutions, these impossible to execute resolutions. So then, as if it suddenly appeared, poof, all of these butterflies go away. So the cut heals, the mole discolors, the lymph node goes away, the circles and bags go away after a good night's sleep, and all of a sudden the butterflies fly away. That pit in your stomach, gone. It's like, Angel, what's for dinner, right? The bargains that we made with our Lord, our Creator. "Hey, Lord, I was only kidding. You didn't really think I meant that I was going to become a nun, did you?" So, you have all of these, whatever. And then there's our cancer survivor slash thrivers, our cherished ones, right? These treasured survivor thrivers. For them, these butterflies, they never go away. It may get a little better, may get a little worse. It may wax, it may wane, especially over time. The pain, the side effects, they may peak, they may ebb. Fear, anxiety here and there, maybe not as bad as in the beginning, but your life will never be the same. You will never be the same. And you don't let it consume you like these made up fantastical things that go on in my mind. They consume me, and they're not even real. In your lives, it's real, and you don't let it consume you. You don't let it control you, and you don't let it define you. You just keep moving forward, And most times you do it by carrying everyone else on your back because we're not even able to handle what's going on to you. And you not only have to handle it yourself, you also have to help all the people around you who love you. And that's why I came up with the idea of doing a podcast exactly about the courage of our survivor thrivers, how much they're like warriors, right? And their bravery, their warriorness, not a word. We make them up, but that's what I thought the podcast was going to be. So while I was doing my research, doing my due diligence for today's podcast, I found out once again I was completely wrong, and I'd be the first one to tell you. So not just wrong regarding putting the warrior name tag on you, but many other concepts that I think all of us, and hopefully for the people who listen to this, who are support systems or caregivers to our survivors, might help them as well. So we have 10 things never to say to a cancer survivor. And that's what we're going to go over. And we've kind of gone through the first part, and that would be the part with don't call them warriors. And I'm going to explain to you why. Is it fair for you guys? Right? I mean, it sounds right. You know, hey, all these people are saying really nice things about you. They're saying you're brave. They're saying you're courageous. They're saying you're a warrior. They're saying you're a hero. They're saying you're a superhero. On the surface, Angel sounds great. Right? But is it really fair? And to be honest with you, and we talked about this last week about resolutions, that puts even more pressure than you already have on your back. Remember, as I said last week, we talked about the pressures of resolutions, and we took that off your back. So tonight, we're going to take off of your back the name tag or the mystique of that hero warrior persona. We're gonna get rid of it. I had an uncle. His name was Uncle Billy. We were all so proud of him because coming from an immigrant family, he was one of the first to be educated. He was a very successful attorney. And again, in our immigrant family who didn't have many educated people, like Billy was a pretty big thing. And I was so proud of him and so proud of what he accomplished. And you know how he reflected on his family, which is us, and how he represented our family with such grace and such dignity. And indeed, instead of saying thank you, he said to me, "Beware of admiring man." And I don't mean man. I mean man, woman, like human. You know, beware of admiring man. Because we are all made of clay. And that's a famous idiom. Simply put, having clay feet, which is, you know, the way the saying goes, means that famous or successful people are like anyone else. They also have the same flaws that we have, the same weaknesses. In other words, they are only human. So to my beloved friends, to my our beloved survivors slash thrivers, as much as we admire and at times idolize your strength, you are not immortal. You are not perfect. You too have your bad days. You have moments of doubt and despair. You may at times lose your faith. You may at times lose your way or even lose yourself. And the last thing you need is the pressure. Always have to live up to always have to live up to the hype of being a superhero. And it is exactly because you are viewed as a hero or as a warrior that makes it so unfair. We do not give you the space to be human, to have doubts, to have bad days, to have flaws, to cry uncontrollably, to crawl to the nearest corner and want to roll up into a ball. So let's agree, Angel, that as much as we admire, or as much as we are inspired by our survivor slash thrivers, we lose the cape. What do you think?
Man, that was pretty deep, my friend. I mean, just starting from the words of bravery and warrior and then, you know, going full circle, I think we have a little bit of hero-ness in all of us. And I think that at the end of the day, we are kind of like the Clark Kent, if I may. And we don't have to show the cape because it's literally right underneath the clothes that we wear.
Beautiful. I'm going to go through the other nine. You ready?
Let's
Here are
go.
things never to say to a cancer survivor. Don't say, I can't stop. Oh, this is from the University of Rochester, by the way. Don't say, I can't stop crying. I was up all night worrying about you. Wrong thing to say. It's important not to take over the person's emotional roller coaster. Remember, the person who has the cancer has the cancer. The cancer patient needs to take care of themselves and not worry about you at this time. What to say instead? I feel terrible you're going through this. Feel free to cry with me, to talk or not to talk. I'll take my lead from you. Don't say, just be grateful you don't have another type of cancer. No matter what type of cancer you have, and no matter what the stage, it's a life-altering diagnosis, even if it's not immediately life-threatening. You don't need to be reminded that things can always be worse. Comparing cancers is not helpful. What to say instead? Tell me about what type of cancer you have, if you'd like. I'd like to know more about what you're going through. Don't ever say you're so strong. People diagnosed with cancer are bombarded with warrior imagery all the time, such as fighters, warriors, win the battle. This imagery may help some people feel more in control of their experience, but it can also make you feel like you're doing it all wrong if you're having a bad day. Having others tell you you're so strong can sometimes make you feel like you can't or shouldn't show any vulnerability. What to say instead? I admire how you're handling this with such grace. Grace doesn't imply that the cancer survivor is strong or weak. It leaves the door open for the survivors to have good days and bad days. Don't ever say, "Are you a smoker?" It is true that certain health behaviors increase the chances of being diagnosed with cancer, but now is not the time to place blame. People who are diagnosed will often agonize about what they got, why they got the disease, and being asked about their health habits only rubs salt into the wound. It is important to remember that there are many things that can contribute to a cancer diagnosis, such as genetics, environment, and health behaviors. What to say instead? You don't deserve this, or I'm sorry that this is happening to you. Don't say, my friend has the same cancer that you have. Let me tell you all about it. Patients with cancer do not always want to know stories about a friend, a relative, or a coworker, especially if something bad happened, such as a recurrence or a complication. What to say instead? I think my friend had the same cancer. I know everyone's cancer is different, but would you like me to put you in touch with them? Angel, don't ever say, if there's anything I can do, just let me know. It sounds kind, but here's why it's not so great. Just give the person the homework. This just gives the person the homework of figuring out what you can do to help, then the burden of having to ask. What to say instead? Be specific with as few decisions or, decision points or action items that the patient has to make or the survivor has to do. For example, I'm going to make you a meal for your family next week. What day would be good? Let me know if there's anything you don't like or you don't eat. Never say, I know how you feel. Oftentimes, people use the I know how you feel to try to express their empathy, but the truth of the matter is, you don't know how it feels. What you say instead, I can't imagine how you feel. Your honesty and vulnerability to admit that this is a new territory for you will open the door to communication, and your openness may encourage your friend to tell you exactly how they feel. Don't ever say, I've heard that they can cure leukemia with a modified AIDS virus right now. Breakthrough treatments may be in the news, but they're tough to actually receive unless you're in a clinical trial, and only their doctors will know if they're eligible. What to say instead? Ask questions. Are you feeling good about your treatment? Are there any new medications or techniques that could be helpful? Speak to the reality that the patient is facing. And finally, don't say nothing. You'd be hard pressed to find a cancer patient who would rather have a friend not reach out at all than say the wrong thing. Simply put, don't ignore the person. A lot of people are afraid and don't know what to say, but ignoring someone can make them feel isolated or alone. You're much better off saying something, just not the 10 things that we just said. What to say instead? That you aren't sure what to say, but you're there for them. Whether they want to discuss it, cry about it, or forget about it, it is up to them. Angel Santana, have faith, let it begin. Your thoughts.
Well, at the I think when it all comes down to it, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. I mean, we've known that. That's just 101, right?
Yep.
Common courtesy and respect to each person that we encounter. But always remember that just because somebody has been diagnosed with something doesn't necessarily mean that they are diagnosed with something. And what I mean by that is that you can have somebody that has cancer and you would never know it because of the way they live their life in a positive light. Then you can have somebody that is normally miserable and you think you can bring them up by using kind words, and reality, you don't know what they're dealing with. So tread lightly, but always remember it's not what you say, it's how you say it, and be mindful of other people's feelings and what they're going through in their life.
Angel Santana, your wisdom is so appreciated. Thank you. And listen, we're all praying for you tomorrow, my dear good friend.
No problem.
Rod Freeman, Small Biz Up. How you doing, Rod? We owe you a call. Thank you for everything you do for us and for our survivors slash thrivers. Board of Directors, thank you for everything, for your talents and for your time and for your concern for our amazing cancer survivors. So I can use the word amazing because this is your pep talk. We don't ever want you guys to feel like you have pressure or that your survivorship is a burden. We never want you to feel uncomfortable with the way we view you or the way we speak about you. We do believe in our heart of hearts that despite the fact you are human, despite the fact you guys have your bad days, despite the fact that there are days that you just don't want to deal with all of us knuckleheads who are just doing the best we can to show you support. Sometimes we're going to say things that you may not like. Sometimes we're going to call you words that you may not identify with. But make no mistake, Angel, myself, the entire Croc organization, the board of directors, we just want to let you guys know how worthy and important you are, how much we respect the journey that you're going through, how all of the specialized challenges that you face on a daily basis, they are visible to us. And it is our goal, our dying goal to our last breath, to be able to find ways of giving you techniques, giving you guys tools, giving you guys methods on how to make your life better. On behalf of Angel, the board of directors, the entire Croc organization, we end this podcast as we end every single podcast, wishing all of you a long, healthy, happy, and cancer-free life. God bless you. God be with you. Peace.